Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't do it, Lutherans. Don't do it. This is Wretched Radio. Troubles are brewing in Missouri. And we don't want this trouble. Well, they don't write them. That was sort of like Martin Luther's greatest hit right there. He was sort of like, well, no, Casey and the Sunshine Band actually had a few hits. Shockingly. It was like, you know, Jimmy, name your favorite one-hit wonder country artist.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
There it is.
Don't tell my heart.
Martin Luther is a lot like Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, that's a terrible.
That is a bad sentence right there. Although I got to tell you, there could be a competition for the worst haircut between the two of them. The point is, Martin Luther, he was the great reformer who, of course, is the one attributed to Lutheranism because you hear it right there, don't you? Martin Luther, Lutheranism. That was Providence. Right there. And there are different streams of Lutheranism. You've got yourself the mess. Think of this stream a lot like that river where the like 400 million people gathered for the Pitcher Festival, P-I-T-C-H-E-R. This was a Hindu festival that was just so pagan and yet so fascinating because they wanted everybody to assemble to get baptized. It was a confluence of rivers and you get baptized there. And it was literally, so I read, to take your sins away. Huh, where'd you get that idea, my Hindu friends? But there's a problem with their baptism. How does that remove sins? It's an act or a ceremony. It just magically, mystically takes them away. Yeah, so I can go do anything I want and just, I can bathe. I can just put my head underneath the water and all of my sins are gone. The problem is they don't have a payment. They don't have a backing. In other words, they're sort of like the American economic system regarding currency. There's no backing for it. There's nothing that it represents that is the actual payment for sin. In other words, while Hindus perhaps recognize they need a cleansing, they are lacking the necessary justification for that cleansing. But that's just that particular stream of Hinduism, which I got to tell you something, is really nasty. And so is the stream of ELCA, that's Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. This is a group that has all of the liberal synods. That's what Lutherans like, synod, S-Y-N-O-D. The different liberal synods all got together over the course of the years. I think it was starting in the 70s, if I remember my history correctly. The ELCA is a relatively new movement, but it's a conglomeration of a number of them. Lutheran Church in America, American Lutheran Church, got together and decided, why don't we just be heretics together? Because they've completely apostatized. But there's another stream of Lutheranism. It's the confessional stream. And there are a couple of tributaries there. There's a number of them, actually. You've got yourself the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. You could even say the Association of Free Lutheran Churches and the Missouri Synod, which would be the biggest of all of them, are all confessional. And whether you're a Lutheran or not, you don't want a major denomination crumbling. You don't want that. You don't want a contaminated river. You might not find yourself comfortable with Lutheranism or Presbyterianism for that matter, but we want those denominations standing strong. We don't want them becoming contaminated. And it appears there's something going on in Missouri that I think is worthy of our consideration. This is for all of us. Now, if you recall, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, they went through a battle where the faculty got all liberal and the conservatives actually took that bad boy over. We shared that history, I think, just a few months ago. It was one of the rare times, sort of like the Southern Baptist Convention, the Southern Seminary, where it was wayward and the good godly men pulled her back. Same thing happened in the Missouri Synod. And that's a victory that we should be celebrating. It's a rare victory. I wish there were more of them. Nevertheless, as a rule, the Missouri Synod is still confessional. Now, does that mean everybody inside of the Missouri Synod holds to all of the Lutheran confessions, whether it's the small called articles, the Luther's Catechism? No, probably not, but most do. I mean, it would be like any movement. You're going to have some liberals inside of it. But overall, the Missouri Synod, certainly on paper, is confessional. Unfortunately, this is from WNG.org. A disturbing poll of Missouri Synod Lutherans reveals the challenges facing Christian pastors. And I think this is why we do well to study this. How is it that the Missouri Synod, conservative on paper, they are confessional, still holding the line, and yet the majority of their people, 54%, think abortion should be legal in all or most cases? Hold on, there is no way the Missouri Synod endorses abortion or gives permission for it at any stage of life. 50% of the members, now these are the people in the pews, and they actually still have pews in the Missouri Synod, 50% say homosexuality should be accepted. Do they accept that at HQ? The answer is absolutely not. So what's going on? It seems, now this, and I'm armchairing this, not to be critical of it, although that is my spiritual gift, but maybe there's something we can learn from this. And this isn't intended to be nasty toward the Missouri Synod. We're cheering for the Missouri Synod. How can they be conservative on paper regarding these social moral issues and the people in their pews are not? There's a disconnect. It has to be some sort of disconnect. Either leadership is not making a big enough deal of these things, not talking about them, or could it be that there is some preaching that does not exalt God and therefore exalts human being, at least to our appropriate level, as image bearers of God? In other words, that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, like frankly far too many Orthodox denominations, have a low anthropology, that we don't have a high view of God's premier creation, us. Why would there be such a disconnect? There must be something between the pulpit and the pew that is missing here. Because if you visit a Lutheran church, go to their youth group. And you know what they're probably having the kids do? Memorize Bible verses and memorizing the catechism. That's what they do in confessional Lutheranism. I suppose there are probably some silly juvenile things that take place in some of the youth groups in LCMS churches, but overall, they're teaching them theology. Why then is there not the fruit of that theology in the pews? I haven't visited every Lutheran church to know the answer to that question, but if you're a pastor, you might do well to ask yourself the question, do the people sitting underneath your spiritual care know about these issues? Do they understand these issues and why biblically these issues are still sinful? Have you applied theology to these issues? Have you taught and supported regarding these issues? Now, if you happen to be one who is an expositional purist, in other words, I never do anything topical. Okay, brother, I wouldn't argue with you. But what about Sunday school? What about Wednesday nights when y'all get together? I have to tell you, I think this would be a big hit. If you're looking for a booster for your attendance, this is what I think would do it. And again, I don't think that this would be what I'd always want to do forever. I think teaching the Bible and Bible study is is the preeminent, but as Luther himself said, if the minister is not addressing the issue of the day, he is negligent in his duties. He's being derelict in that he's not talking about the stuff that we're all dealing with here. So here's an idea, whether you're Lutheran or not, you want to booster your numbers on Wednesday or Sunday morning Bible study, talk about cultural issues. We love talking about cultural issues, don't we? We love talking politics. We love talking about what they talk about on Fox. It is a subject that is everybody is interested in. Are you talking about it? You don't want to do it from the pulpit? Okay. It's your pulpit, pastor. But what about Bible study? What about Wednesday nights when you get together? Hey, bring your questions on this. We're going to do a deep dive into cultural issues, and you can expand it from the standard LGBTQ, the trans issues, the classic abortion, all of that. You can tackle that, but you could expand it. Social media, AI, pornography, the celebrity culture, all of those things, because if we don't help people apply, we might find ourselves swimming in a contaminated river ourselves. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So you already believe in biblical creation, right? You're convinced that Genesis is true. But let me ask you this. Can you confidently explain why? You know what you believe, but can you tell others why you believe it? When someone challenges you, do you have the answers that silence their skepticism? Well, now you can, because coming up March 21st and 22nd, Dr. Jason Lyle, renowned astrophysicist and biblical apologist, is coming here to Fortis Institute to help you strengthen your foundation. He's going to walk through 10 powerful lectures that will provide the evidence to show exactly how science confirms what Genesis says about creation. Dr. Lyle is going to give practical tools, not just theology, but logical, irrefutable arguments to confidently defend biblical creation. Genesis is true, science confirms it, and now you'll be able to defend it. Reserve your spot if you live in or near Alpharetta, Georgia at fortisinstitute.org/creation, because believing's great, right? But being equipped to explain why you believe what you believe is even better.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And don't do this either, my Lutheran friends. This is Wretched Radio. The Missouri Synod, it appears, there's some stuff brewing there. There are some people that are kind of disinfecting. When you escape out of a country like a communist country, disaffecting? Is that what it's called?
Defecting?
That's it right there.
Disinfecting.
Now, you probably are listening to this and you're thinking, that talk show host is an idiot. But what you don't know, okay, I am an idiot, but what you don't know, I was just testing Jimmy to make sure that he was still with us here. We've got some defections going on from the Missouri Synod. This is always the case. People that want to go about the business of undermining and corrupting, and our favorite word these days, deconstructing what those idiots before us all knew, the chronological snobbery, the anachronistic arrogance that says all those people that were born like 5 minutes ago, morons, we're the good thinkers. We're on the right side of history here. And it appears there's some of that going on in the Missouri Synod. My encouragement to the LCMS, hold the line. Don't give ground on this. And don't start doing studies. That's always the way that this begins. We're going to do some studies on DEI. We're just going to do some studies on CRT. We're just going to do some studies on the role of women. We're just going to do some studies on gender and sexuality issues. And the next thing you know, you're the ELCA. You don't want that, Missouri Synod, and nor do we evangelicals. But there is yet another temptation that I think is going on in confessional Lutheran circles, and that is the influence of Big Eva. Big Eva, probably best defined as mainstream evangelicalism. Probably not reformed or neo-reformed. I mean, you could maybe say that the charismatic movement is in there, but these are just all the non-denominational churches. And by the way, a lot of non-denominational churches are really good. So this isn't a screed on all non-denominational churches. But Big Eva is that big centerpiece where a lot of Southern Baptist churches reside. A lot of seeker-sensitive churches reside. In the file cabinet, they're Orthodox. I think we need to stop saying file cabinet. In the cloud, they're Orthodox. But here on earth, from the pulpit, not so much. That's Big Eva. And their influence is huge. It includes contemporary worship. It includes Christian publishing. It probably includes a lot. I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of the times when you see a celebrity, a football player, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's all evangelical lingo. That ain't Lutheran talk. Lutherans don't talk like that. That's kind of a unique evangelical lingo, but that doesn't mean that confessional Lutherans aren't being exposed to not just our lingo, publishing, music, worship, seeker sensitivity. And there are some Lutherans that are saying, yeah, we got to start doing that. And to you, I would scream, don't do it. Don't go that way. As we've stated, I think now for a very long time here on Wretched Radio, not only I think is it not biblical to adopt so much of Big Eva, but it's just you're just reading the tea leaves wrong. Your timing is off on this because it is not just my opinion. Every single thing that we are seeing going on university campuses, Bible sales, downloads of Bible apps, it is screaming that young people don't want dopey. They don't want trite. Now, maybe maybe some do, but I don't think that they want kind of a dead, wooden sort of church service. Now, you can have the debate over robes. If you're a Lutheran church and you wear robes, I'd say you keep on wearing them. Don't ditch them because Well, we just don't do that anymore. If that's your conviction, then wear those vestments. Stick with your traditional confessional Lutheranism. Stick with your confessional Presbyterianism. Don't go the way of contemporary evangelical cool, because first of all, it's not. Second of all, it's not what people want. I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, Bible sales soar. This is in Great Britain. Bible sales soar as Gen Z's renewed spirituality drives a new trend. So they took a look at all the data, who's buying Bibles, and it turns out, what do you know? It's Gen Zers that are buying them. A January survey found 62% of 18 to 24-year-olds described themselves as very or fairly spiritual. Those over 65, 35%. Hold on, wait, what happened here? Seriously, what happened here? Because weren't we a year ago, maybe at least 2 years ago for sure, reading polls about, oh boy, there's like 8 Gen Zs that are Christians, and we were mourning how it appeared. Look out, this generation is a goner. Look out, it appears something is brewing. Something is going on with this generation. 35% of those 65 and older call themselves spiritual, but 62% of Gen Zs, they dig it. That is a radical shift. Sam Richardson, the chief executive of SPCK, which is the group that compiled all of this data from Nielsen book data, sales data. We are at the center of a significant cultural shift regarding matters of faith and religion. Then I read an article from the Christian Post, Kevin Brown. Is Gen Z truly experiencing a religious revival? Now, these aren't the only two articles that I've read on this. There's been a proliferation of them. And I've seen it. We feel it on the campuses when you go. He cites some statistics. 50,000 college students singing Agnus Dei a cappella at the 2024 Passion Gathering. Now, whatever you think about all of that, nevertheless, something's going on. Something's happening there. All of these different revivals that we are seeing on campuses. All of these kids, they're getting baptized in horse troughs or in the back of a Ryder truck. Something's going on. What's happening? I think that we are seeing a generation that is done. They're done with atheism. They think that atheism is a dead end. They think that this current worldview of secular humanism has utterly failed. And they don't want dopey. They don't want trendy. They don't want silly. They don't want trite. Lutherans! Don't go chasing. Don't go sniffing after the seeker-sensitive movement. That is not the path forward. Furthermore, it's not biblical. From this article, I think this is helpful for us. We need to understand this generation, because I'm telling you, church, we can't be asleep on this one. We're missing out. Some of these revivals are totally wonky. Why aren't we there? Well, okay, so we're trying to. If you're a campus ministry, you'd like us to come to your campus with our fellows, send an email to Dalton, Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fortisinstitute.org. Talk to him. Start emailing with him. We want to go to the campuses in a big way, in reaching like hundreds at a time, thousands at a time, because they want it. They're looking for deeper. They're looking for traditional. They're not looking for something that's new and cool and hip. They've had enough of it. They want the good old days. From the article, Gen Z young adults don't want to tribalize and divide. They want to include others. They prioritize belonging. You got a Gen Z that comes to your church, you better just grab them, hug them, tackle them, and let them know we are so glad that you are here. I mean, that should be the way we act anyway. But especially with this generation. His observations, by the way, this guy's the president of Asbury, where the so-called Asbury revival broke out. So I'm going to give him some props for knowing this generation. Sensitive to hypocrisy, they don't want to do as I say and not as I do religion. Well, we shouldn't have that, should we? Because that would be the mark of hypocrisy. They're less interested in propositions. That's unfortunate. They're going to have to grow in that regard because we are a propositional faith. They are won over through the currency of relationship and trust, not empty platitudes. They value authenticity. They want real and genuine. They aren't chasing worldly success and comfort. And I don't think that they're chasing silly, dopey nuts. I just saw this church down in Florida. It was from The Greatest Showman. It's like, I'm here. The song is like, basically, it's about me. And that was their Sunday service. And it was this off-Broadway production. Staggering effort. So worldly. So trite. And while I guess some people are attracted to it for who knows why, I can't understand it. I don't think the youth are. They don't want dopey anymore. They want to commit to a cause. They want purpose, writes the author, and they can no longer exist in flattened, disenchanted existence that is deadening. They desire meaning, the kind increasingly found in, drumroll please, traditional Christianity. Whether you're Lutheran, evangelical, whatever your stripe is, let's abandon the seeker-sensitive movement today. And let's go back to the old paths, because guess what? It's biblical, and that's what the kids want. This is Wretched Radio.